We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody, please your eyes for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, all. A nice night here once, so it's good. We'll go on to public comment. Mr. Greenhagen, if you've got something short and sweet. So if you've got something short and sweet, you know.
I do.
Because you're really not on the agenda, so we'll get you here.
Yeah. I got some handouts. Probably not enough for everybody. Okay, what I'm thinking of doing for Lions, we always have a problem every year come Zoomerfest of getting lighting down by the park. So I got the idea to put together maybe some rope lighting on the bandstand, the food stand, and part of the shelter down there. And I'm talking about the rope lighting just like this. It's a 3/8-inch rope, and you can, this is 48 feet. And you can chain four of them together up to 2 feet. So, you know, you can go around the building. That's what I'm thinking about doing. So the diagram I've given you there is just what to do. The soffits around the buildings are all aluminum covered right now. So just a little, little screw through the aluminum and into the wood. And that bracket should hold there nicely. Probably be a bracket like every couple feet or so. And it says on there, I think the wattage on these is about 144 watts. The real question is how bright is it going to be, but we don't want it real bright because that attracts a lot of mosquitoes. So this is something the Lions would do.
And, is it LED or is it just regular?
It says incandescent. So somewhere it does.
Yeah, I see.
48-foot incandescent rope light. So I don't know how long they'll last, but they're not going to get a lot of use, I wouldn't think, either. But
well, the LEDs would last you longer, and you can actually you can actually put together more ropes of them, too, because they use less wattage and they're
actually
burned.
Yeah, it's just hard to find them. It was hard
can't
to find
them. Okay.
To find this set here. In fact, probably have to order a few more. What is this?
You can go on Amazon and buy
100-foot ropes. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should look at doing that. And
Have Otis look for him. He loves to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So the idea is all around the bandstand, all around the food stand, you know, right underneath the shingles there. And then the shelter, you know, just basically it's to cover the front arch, but it would probably go down the sides just a little bit, at least on the one side, because that's where electricity is.
So LED is going to be brighter, too. There's two versions of white.
Yeah.
Green and white, bright white, and cool white.
Yeah. I'm not sure how easily they're going to attract bugs, so that's one concern I have about white light. So,
and are you looking to keep them up all year round? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of this. Taking them
tell up. You that I've had them at the house.
Yeah.
And little clip, you'll be replacing them every year.
Oh, is that right? They're drying out.
More often than exactly. They dry out in the sun and they crack like they're not even there.
One thing I'll just throw in, if you go on Amazon or whatever, look, because they've got 4-foot strips, they're a channel. Then these clips don't break, and you put it right in that channel and it stays nice and straight.
Okay. Yeah, that would be better. I don't look forward to putting all these little clips in
there. Right, but I'm saying, if you've got
metal clips or something.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking to keep them up, because I know these clips.
Yeah. Yeah, I know plastic.
I put dryers up because I got sick of them.
Yeah.
Even zip ties might work for you too, because those will last longer than those little flip dealies.
Yeah, I don't know what the fasten them to though on the face.
The soffit should have holes in it for venting.
No, not really. Inside,
yeah, not really.
This way,
yeah, on the ends, on the arch ends, but on the straight parts, not so. So.
So you're just looking for a blessing?
Yes. Don't want to do it without your approval.
Discussion, otherwise I've got nothing against it.
Do we need a motion on that?
We should.
I make a move to let the Lions put up whatever the, their string lights that they need on the closest thing here, whether they be LED or incandescent, whichever ones they can get a better deal.
Very similar.
Yeah. Second.
Motion made and seconded to allow the Lions to put up their LED or their rope lighting on the two buildings down at the park. In favor?
All right.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, we'll move on to the agenda. Are there any items?
Point of order, we may want to table that motion after the public comment.
Mayor and Council, just a few items for agenda review and a few added items here. One thing, unless any discussion feel needed under consent agenda, I'd like to add the temporary on sale liquor license for the Hamburg Lions Club for May 16th, 2015. And then also under the consent agenda, just to add the February cash flow statement. And then other items which are on the agenda is the city electronic recording policy, code of conduct policy, and statement of values. And then just updated March and April claims list. And then also under consent agenda, the updated delinquency report can be approved.
Anything else?
I'm going to accept the agenda as so noted.
For a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to accept the agenda with the added items. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on, number five. City electronic reporting policy.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda. I agree. We got to move the meeting along tonight, but.
Did I ask that?
No, not yet. But I'll move to approve it, though.
Says the guy who was late.
Second.
Also made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Adoption of the.
Adoption.
I know these technicalities.
That's one of those 5 days. Now we'll move on to number five. City electronic reporting policy, slash code of conduct policy, and statement of values, which everybody should have got in their packet. And you want to address
yes,
some kind
yes,
of informants?
Thank
please?
You. So the first item, electronic recording of city council meetings. The city asked me to look into the issue of recording of city council meetings. And so there's two different aspects as it relates to that. Open meetings, recording of open meetings, and recording of closed meetings. So under MnSTAT Section 13D.05, the city has a statutory obligation to record all closed sessions. We have to statutorily record all closed sessions, and we do that. As far as open meetings, it's up to the council to determine if you want to be recording open meetings or if you don't want to be recording just regular public meetings. And my understanding is that our city clerk treasurer here, Mr. Riedenhagen, has been normally doing recordings of that on that particular recording device. And then also Mr. Odoms, I noticed he doesn't have anything here, but he has, on my understanding, is in the past been recording meetings. So the city has the right to control the meetings that you guys have, closed meetings, open meetings, as far as the recording devices or device that may be used, how you would prefer to handle that. It's up to the council's discretion. It's up to the council's discretion also, and this is probably something else that you guys will need to talk about more, and I'm just bringing this up now, but besides just recordings of meetings on devices, social media is a huge issue, and phones at meetings, texting at meetings, you know, all those kinds of things. And I have talked to the league about that, and they also recommend that you guys consider adopting some type of policy as it relates to just council members and use of email.
Doesn't matter to me. I get no service in here at all.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, not only just during council meetings, but also outside of council meetings. So that's just something else to think about, too. But this I put together just as it relates to the recording of the meetings. So it is up to the council as a whole if you want to allow individual members to be recording meetings in addition to the city clerk treasurer recording the meetings, or if you want to control the meetings and just have one recording. The significance of that issue is that when there is a recording device being used, that is creating data of the city of Hamburg, and the city clerk treasurer under our Data Practices Act policy has an obligation to maintain all data. So if you have other people that are making recordings and those recordings are kept somewhere else, that's a problem for the city, because the city has to keep all data. And when the council members are sitting around the table in their official duty of wearing the hat of a council member in a meeting, any recording would be done on behalf of the city, and so it's the city's data, it's the city's recording. So you can't take off your hats at these meetings. Whether or not you've got a hat on when you're outside of here is a different question depending upon what someone's doing, but most clearly when you're sitting around the council table, you are here acting on behalf of the city of Hamburg solely and not as a resident or a citizen that is not an elected official. So in that, to that extent, that's what I put together here that says that it's up to the city, basically, that you will just have this one recording device. But nothing in this policy would prohibit someone from sitting out here that's a resident that is not an elected official recording
so
a meeting.
Not in public, but
yeah, I mean, there's nothing that the council cannot control what's happening back here, but you can control what's happening up here.
Okay.
So it would be my advice as city attorney that you would adopt that policy and just have your city clerk treasurer that's doing a recording so that you can control the data.
Well, just for a point of clarification, when I had my laptop here, the only reason it was here was to record the meetings so I could edit them down into an MP3 format and give them to Jeremy to put on the city website. That's the only purpose of that served. So now I'm in there. I don't record the meetings, that's fine, but you know, somebody's going to have to take and record those and edit them and whatnot and get them up on the website.
Yeah, I'm looking into a program to do that. I'm actually doing a trial run tonight as well, so we'll see how it turns out.
I just want to make it clear that you know, those recordings were not for my use, they were for the city's use.
Okay.
No, I think we'd all would agree, too, that it's nice to be able to have the access to do that. So if anybody wants a quick access to what was said at a city council meeting, instead of having to go through tape, it's easier to go to the, you know, to the file online and fast forward and move around. So
yeah. So if you guys want to, you know, look into doing that as far as replace, you know, to have so it's the city's equipment, I would advise that as opposed to an individual member's, city council member's equipment. I think it should be the city's.
One source of the data.
Yeah.
On our end.
On your end. So if you guys want to have something similar to what Councilmember Odoms had to be able to do that, then you should, like Jeremy is saying, look into that. I mean, and I would advise the city to do that.
Is that something we discussion with or act upon at this point? Or, well, we've got three items here. the code of conduct, and the values. And actually, we have to adopt each one separately.
Yeah.
Any discussion on the electronic recording?
On when you said you can't control what's going on back here, can you have a sign that there's going to be no recording beyond this point?
Like no.
No? Okay.
The public is...
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's just the council. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was a question.
Yep. And sometimes you have media people that come to a council meeting and want to record something themselves. And
right, well, they're over there. No, I mean, they would be sitting over there. Sorry.
Okay. You're going to need a motion on this then? Or okay, discussion?
Discussion, or if everybody's satisfied with it?
I'm on
her recommendation.
I'm on her recommendation, yes.
Is that a motion?
I can make that a motion for the electronic city electronic recording policy to take advice of the city attorney and adopt it.
Second
it. Motion made and seconded to adopt the electronic recording policy for the city of Hamburg. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll move on to code of conduct.
Okay. So, thank you, Mayor. There's two other things that I put together, a code of conduct and a statement of values. And I was asking Jeremy, as far as an oath, you know, what oath you guys take or what you, if there's anything you sign, and he did fax over to me what that is, but it's very short. And I would say most cities have more than that, and so what the statement of values and the code of conduct is what I would say a lot of cities have that we represent at the firm. So this is not something unusual. And I also talked to the League of Minnesota Cities about it, and they would encourage the council to consider adopting these kinds of things because it's a good standard to have a uniform standard and have an understanding of all council members as far as what the city does expect. And it applies equally to every council member. And, you know, that there's a blank on the statement of values actually for number 10, I am something, because the city would have, you know, some discretion if there's additional things you that are important to you guys that you'd want to add, you can certainly do that. You know, these are more model policies, but I customized them slightly for you guys. But, you know, if there's other things you want that you think are important that you'd want to add, if not, you know, we can just cross out that number 10 and leave it, the rest of it, as it is. But I think something that's good about this is that under the code of conduct in number 3, if someone does have an issue, that there is a process to deal with that issue, and right now you guys don't have like anything that's written as far as a process. So I think that that's a good idea.
So while you're on that, Kelly, one thing I had, because we've always talked about personnel in the meeting.
Yeah.
For 3, complaint hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Any person may file a written complaint with the city clerk. That as the city clerk, or should we have that as the personnel committee? I'm just looking for council's thoughts on that.
Yeah, and I mean that we can change that to the personnel committee. I think my concern would be what if the complaint is against a personnel committee member?
Well, I don't know. It kind of works both ways.
Yeah, it would be the same thing, though.
Well, if it's against the clerk.
Clerk too, so
maybe we just have alternatives in there, like either the city clerk or the personnel committee?
City clerk and or.
And city clerk and or personnel committee?
That would make sense.
That would make sense that we can
cover it either way.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just trying to cover all bases.
Yeah, no, that's a very good suggestion. I think the important thing to note here is it's the city council that acts, you know what I mean, the personnel committee, you guys would get it, but obviously you don't have authority to act.
Correct, yeah.
And I think it's just a, you know, I think it's a good way of having something in place if someone has a concern that it can be addressed, because we do want to address concerns within the city in a fair and impartial and productive way. And so I would recommend the code of conduct, and I'd also recommend the statement of values. I also think from a public citizen of your city that if they know that you guys have these things in place, it speaks highly of your city that you are agreeing that this is your statement of values, this is how you engage each other, and I think it makes the city look good to the public.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Number two, subdivision 1H, is anything, does that mean that any closed meeting we have with you present, is all of that considered attorney-client privilege, or is that, or are just certain things, I guess? Because open meetings obviously are open to the public, and that can be discussed openly, I guess, is for want of a better phrase. But
mm-hmm.
Which one are you on, Bob?
2H.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so there is a difference between attorney-client privilege information and then information that's protected as private data. I mean, attorney-client privilege information is non-public data, so it can't be disclosed. But there are a lot more things than just what's here under standards of
no,
conduct.
I guess what I mean is if you're here and it's a closed meeting, does that
yep.
mean that anything said here, anything at a closed meeting said with you present, is that all attorney-client stuff? Or only can we consider only some of it? I mean,
yes,
you know,
yeah. And here's the attorney answer of, I guess it depends because
I know that, you know,
yeah.
I know that if, you know, Jeremy discusses with you something pertaining to the city or its
mm-hmm.
employees or what's going on out there, yeah, that's attorney-client privilege. But any closed meeting, we're all present here and you're present, does that mean that is that considered attorney-client privilege
not
information?
Not necessarily,
as well?
Because I mean, we could close a meeting under the attorney-client privilege, which is if there's a threatened claim.
So it would have to be stated outright that
mm-hmm.
it would be. Okay, gotcha.
Yep. If that makes sense. Not that you should be discussing non-public data, even if it's... I mean, you should... I just want to make sure that that's... You know what I mean? Just because the meeting isn't characterized as being closed for the attorney-client privilege doesn't mean that the data that's being discussed should be disclosed, and or that it would be public, because it wouldn't be most likely under the Data Practices Act. Yeah. If you wanted to disclose any data, could you check? That's all I'm saying before you would do that.
No, I'm just, like I said, because attorney-client privilege, I mean, I studied a little bit of law in college,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and obviously you watch TV shows like Law and Order and all those kind of things, and they talk about attorney-client privilege and doctor-client privilege, because I work
mm-hmm.
at the doctor's office, and, you know, it just, some of it's such a broad scope in some...
Well, you
some,
know, and I think that's a good question, because where it's different for a city than, say, a private client is I'm the entire city's attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm just sitting here talking, I mean, I represent the whole city, not just, you know, the whole entire city. So you can close the meeting under the attorney-client privilege where the public, the citizens can't even hear that, but that's a very high standard to not have the public that our citizens be able
okay.
to, yeah.
Again, like I said, it's just I know that pretty much everything is open, governmental-wise is supposed to be open and transparent,
yes.
although not everything is.
Right.
So, but, you know, it's just kind of...
Right.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yep. Yep. Doing my best. But that's a good question.
Any other questions?
The only other thing I have is just on the statement of values.
Yeah.
You know, where you say the values, value examples, expressions, would it be okay to just say city values? And
yeah.
City value examples and expressions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, so just maybe add the word city value example slash expression. So add the word city. Jeremy, you want that in front
of you? Yeah, just city values. And mm-hmm. then under value and examples, put city values examples.
Yep, right. Got it.
Are you going to leave number 10 open, or are we just going to close it? We're just going to leave it open.
If not, I can amend it.
We can take it off, and I think it can always be amended.
Yeah. If you guys would want to amend, if you guys give, you know, if you think of other things that are important to you, you'd want to add, you can certainly do that at a different meeting.
As things come up.
Yeah.
So number 10 is scratched.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, when it comes to the city conduct and the statement of values, how far does that reach among our employment? What I mean is, does it attribute to Chief Buckentine and the rest of the clan there?
Well, it says in volunteers in this, so you're not, but you're...
No, all elected officials, city government officers, are required to subscribe to the state. You should look at this, but I don't
think you have a problem with it. Well, I found when we met last summer that the officers were considered employees of the firefighters.
Right, but this applies to volunteers.
Yeah, the states.
It's in there.
Yeah, it's already in there. We can take it out if you wanted, but
I don't think anyone should have a problem.
Right.
And that was my thought. Cause
I think that would be a good
we've
idea.
We've talked in the past about becoming a little more cohesive with the policy anyway. So I just wanted to...
so then you should...
Because like under the Code of Conduct, under Standards and Conduct, subsection 1, it just calls no members of the City Council or City Board or Commission. Would that include, though... the chief, his officers, and anybody else within that department.
Change that to
subdivision 1 on city of or code of conduct.
Standards of conduct, subdivision 1.
Yeah.
We're discussing it. Basically, says no member of the city council or city board or commission.
Yep.
We want to change that to include kind of what's stated in the statement of values to include employees and volunteers.
Yeah, I think that code of conduct is designed for basically the city council members.
Well, you know, violate open meeting law.
Yeah.
Any firemen can talk whatever they want.
Right. I think. I mean, it's up
to here.
Right. This is, I agree, Mayor. This is just designed for you guys.
Good.
And not you, Jeremy, so. I mean, if you guys wanted to later on, you could come up with a code of conduct for everyone else, but...
For employees and volunteers, you could do something separate. You probably want to differentiate the two.
Dick, what do you think? You can go on like this, is
it? I'm just thinking that,
everybody should have a little bit of common sense saying that decent conduct, you know. Is that what you're thinking or what? That's what I'm thinking. You just don't...
Well, that goes with, statement of values and conduct.
Right.
I mean, just playing, being on the up and up.
Yeah, I think that's why the statement of values is just intended to apply to everyone associated with the city. And the code of conduct is really designed to look at your obligations as council members, which are distinct from what... the employees have, because you're elected. And we have an employee handbook that applies to employees.
Yep.
So I think if we wanted to put any, that would be the place to address that issue would be in their handbook, because you guys, that's not applying to you, so.
Other discussion? Any good questions?
And obviously, you guys, even if you didn't have these things in place, these are the laws that you can't do these things. But it's, I think it's just a good thing to have it somewhere that you can look at, refer to this, and it, the league likes the cities to have this because it helps protect the city. Right, that you know what I mean? That you can say everyone agrees to this and
make a motion to accept the code of conduct and the statement of values.
You want to go one at a time.
Oh, one at a time, okay.
And then I would say make your addition on 3 under complaint hearing, city clerk and or personnel committee.
Okay.
So it's all in the motion.
Okay, I'll rephrase that. I'm going to make a motion for the code of conduct with all the changes to adopt that.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded to approve the code of conduct policy with the change of number 3 for the city clerk and or personnel committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Also, I'd like to make a motion on the statement of values with all the changes. I don't know what they all are.
We're adding city values.
Okay. On the city value, adding city on the city values and values, explanations and expressions, mm-hmm. and deleting number 10.
Yeah, under the value section.
Under the value section. And I'd like to adopt that.
There you go. Got a motion. There's a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adopt.
Can I get a clarification on something here before we move forward? Under value number 2, I fulfill the duties and responsibility of holding public office. When we look back above in the preamble and we talk about all elected and appointed officials, city employees, and volunteers, we're not addressing, we're only addressing the public office holders at that point in time,
mm-hmm.
versus above, we're including more than just the public holders. So do we want a clarification on that, or is that fine where it like it says?
Well, I think, I mean, you guys, we can do clarification, but you do have duties and responsibilities of holding public office,
right.
that the other employees don't have. So that line isn't going to apply to the volunteers, you know what I mean? But I understand what you're saying, and that's good, Chris, for pointing that out.
Mm-hmm.
There's been
a motion.
5 seconds. Just so long as the fiscally responsible doesn't apply to me, just the city. I can't balance my checkbook, let alone.
Oh, okay. Okay, I wasn't sure what you meant by that, Bob. So.
My personal finances is what I mean.
Okay.
Just to be funny.
Okay.
Motion made. Seconded to adopt the statement of values with the changes of adding city to the values and city to the value examples slash expressions and deleting number 10 under the values section. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We're done with that section.
So then I'll just step back for a minute and then come back up.
Yeah, so
okay.
Chief Buckingham.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Try to be faster than that. We got firefighter Anthony Van Haften has an application in. He's passed all the background checks. The only hiccup we have with him right now is he doesn't turn 19 until June 2nd. He came with us and watched the last training. He's excited. Lives just south of town where we had that chicken fire in November. So seemed like a good kid when we got there that night. He had everyone out of the house and really had his stuff in line. So I think we just need a motion to accept him from you guys.
So moved. Second?
Second.
Would that take effect on his birthday?
June 2nd, yeah, when he turns 19.
You have to be 19 to be on the Hamburg Guard?
Yep, that's our bylaws.
Okay.
for our requirements.
I did not know that.
Yep. You're old enough.
Do you want to put that in,
thanks, Justin,
in your motion that it takes effect on his 19th birthday?
Yes.
Motion made and seconded to approve firefighter Anthony Van Haften to the Hamburg Fire Department pertaining to be in effect as of June 2nd when he reaches 19. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Next we had, we put in for a McLeod County Co-op grant a few months ago for a anhydrous air monitor. We came back, we were one of 19 that got a $475 grant. Money has been received already. We just ordered a new one a couple days ago, last week I think it was. They said that'll be back, should be next week, maybe 2 weeks yet. We got a ToxiRay Pro NH3 monitor. We went through Clary's, they were the cheapest, but they're also through, all our other monitors are through, so it's kind of nice. And we'll have one stop then for sensors and stuff. If there's any questions on that.
Good.
Maintenance items. Just wondering where we were at with that. I think they got bids in.
I think the gutters are, we're on the list.
Yeah, we're on there. I believe there's so many, you know, it's the better
side.
Good.
Does that pan that's out there that's got the big deck in it, does that have to be powered out or something?
It works fine like that. It looks bad, but it's not ticking or making any noise. There's nothing more with that. And I just asked Jeremy to put on the Easter egg hunt and that grass fire. We had Easter egg hunt. I think there was 144 kids and 98 adults, they said, came through that day. But I just can't thank people enough that helped. Up here that week before, I couldn't believe all the cars parked outside. There had to be 40 people setting up for it. The day two, they said they were going to need help. I walked in there, and wow. It was impressive, all the help they got. And also on the grass fire we had April 1st, we had back-to-back-to-back calls in, what was it, 3 hours, 2 hours. We had, I think, 8 calls up till April 1st, so we had 3 calls within an hour that day. But it was just nice to see all the people we had helped. I think we were the only department that had our mayor bring us out a truck, so it's helpful. We needed some stuff, and I was trying to call him, and there, him and another retired fire had showed up with it already. We had the first one. We had another department helping us with ours. We got called to a mutual aid, and we had one of our neighbors finishing up our call, and we had retired guys, other departments, wives helping. It was just really something to see all the people coming together. One question I did have asked, the retireds were wondering, a couple asked me, would they be covered in something like that?
For work though? We're just renewing that right now, so let me look into that.
Because I never even gave it a thought. That's actually what one asked me today. He stopped up here and he was curious.
Well, I would almost even think, though, which we can get into, which I'm going to talk about volunteers. We've had that coverage over the years, so I think if we continued that, at least it would fall under that coverage, a worst-case scenario.
Okay.
But I'll look at how retired firefighters fit in, too.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just hate to, I mean, these guys coming to help us out and step wrong on a rock and twist an ankle or break an ankle, and they're just here to help. You know, I just wanted to make note of all the people that helped. I know the Lions got something coming up, and hopefully get a lot of community help for that, too. It's nice to see the community coming together.
Just before you move on, Justin, I myself, you know, was in attendance at the Easter egg hunt, and I've said it many times, but it's a pat on the back to all the clubs in this town for, you know, what they do. I've been to other city functions, and I've really, really enjoyed that come to help, and two, all the activities you have, you know, entertain the kids and the adults, and I just think it's great, you know, it's a compliment to all adults, actually, you know, that do these things in the city, and just, I think, all the people that helped, you know, along with the firefighters, along with their wives also, you know, I hope that they get the recognition for the work that they put into that. It looks like there was a lot of work put into that Easter.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, they said, I hope with the Lions got coming with their feed starving kids, I hope it keeps going with something like that. It'd be nice to see. I just had to bring up again the June 9th regional meeting. Just to clarify, I think council is going to move that night. So we have regional meeting. We would be hosting the same night as council meeting. I know we brought it up a few months back, and we're just clarifying.
Let's remove it for a second.
Well, what I was looking, we may need to move that to the 16th, because what we initially had is we look at the schedule for the 2015 street improvement project. And initially, we were looking at the 15th awarding bids for that project. I did talk to Justin Black, our engineer. He said moving it back, you know, like to the 16th would be fine versus moving it up. But yet, I don't know if we want to get into, you know, his concern is the longer we push it, the more risk we get at for getting on the schedule, for getting it done. And then also, always that price differentiation, too, from versus they come in early versus later. You get into that prime construction season, you trade prime prices, too. So my suggestion, and I talked with Justin Black, would be looking at moving it to June 16th, which would be the third Tuesday instead of the 7th.
He's trying to be in the council. Any discussion?
Would there be any advantage to having it move up like to the first or the second or whatever?
No, as I said, we'd rather see it move to the 16th versus the second. Because we need that window to advertise it in the paper for 3 weeks. So we need at least till like June 9th. In order for everything to fall in line with our timetables.
I made a motion to move to the 16th.
Any second?
I'll second.
Motion made and second to change the meeting date for the June council meeting to the 16th of June. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you for that. You guys are bored that night and want to come over. We got a speaker from Minnesota PCA talking about hazmat spill cleanup. Should be good. I forgot to put on the list too. Pork chop dinner is Sunday here. We'll be doing it. It'll be in the truck bay. We're going to pull all the trucks out. It's 10 to 2. I believe they're looking at $10 a plate. And they're going to have people come in one wall, do the eating. And we're going to have the other wall, just some of the toys set up, the auto pulse, some of the air monitors, just so the, whoever comes can kind of see what some of the stuff we have and what we do. So we're going to show, I think they're going to put some of the gear with our old gear next to our new year gear, just so the citizens can see the weight difference between what the new gear is. If you have no more questions for me, I will let you enjoy your night.
I have got two things.
All right.
I got this big thick packet, ISO.
Yep.
And it did our rating.
Yep.
And there's a lot of numbers in here. Basically, if you want to maybe just sum it up for the council, are we gaining, maintaining, or?
Comes to we were a 6, we're still a 6. So after all that, we're maintaining what we, our insurance rating, what it was, is what we still are. And some of the numbers changed from last time in the rural. And what changed was, it's not the numbers. They changed some of the numbers to letters.
Yeah, why?
Exactly. And when he had met, he said, it's just what they did. It's all, we're the same. He said the letters that the 8A is the same as the 6B used to be.
I read through some of this, and it's just kind of...
Yeah. What he told me when I talked to him, we're the same we were.
Okay, that was my question.
Yep. And for if anyone doesn't know what that is, it's for your insurance. premiums, and it has to be, the insurance company has to go off of that too. I know State Farm doesn't use it anyway, so.
There's too much water supply.
Yeah. But the only way we really can improve ours right now would be to, if we did some looping, and the biggest thing really probably be in order even to get to a highway up in the water.
Right, and the mains are too small. I mean, for what you're going to gain on the cost to put into it, it's probably very minimal gain. Because as it is right now, we're going to set up drop tanks and draft anyways.
And the other thing, is there a Skywater training coming up? Or is it
there was one last Thursday. Carver County had one. See when Sibley County is coming up.
We usually send people somewhere. Right?
A couple went there. Yeah, there was going to
be. Counties?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was last Thursday.
Okay, I'm just curious because it's Awareness Week, so.
Right, and I think it's Thursday is going to be the sirens. Be 1:45 and 6:55, I believe.
Kind of where to watch everybody that way.
Yeah. Hopefully the ones that way watch for us.
Oh, that's true.
That's on Thursday?
Yep.
Hmm. Anything else for Chief Bucking Team?
Thank you, guys.
And Gail? Yes,
sir.
Well,
before we jump to the city business, since we have the attorney on the clock, I have a quick question. So, like, when we change a council meeting like that, Kelly, and we've done it during a council meeting, we still require to post that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just want to make sure. We
you
usually
do.
You're
continuing.
Right. Changing it.
You're
yes.
changing it. Yeah, and you absolutely have to post that. Yeah, feel free to ask me questions.
All right.
Just trying to get our money's worth.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Are you 100 control now? We'll move on to all city business. The mosquito control date change.
I got some information on that. And basically, the response I got was there three other cities changed their dates. And so now. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't inquire which cities.
Okay.
But, so basically, what we got into there is. They want to do, I mean, they can look at doing us on a Thursday, but they want to consider changing our fee, which I think one of the things I'd like to look into is state, you know, we signed a 3-year contract last year. I know we don't have it written in there, but we agreed upon Thursdays. This is what,
that's what
was our intention when we did the contract. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's just one more tidbit I'll try to work on and see if we can't still get it on Thursday. But,
yeah,
you know,
same, right?
Uptick in the charges.
Well, I guess my question is, did these cities change it, or did these people tell them they were changing their dates, and they kind of accepted it, I guess. It's
good point.
I would think the other cities would have the same feeling as we do, that we've got to have more for the weekend.
I would have to think most of them close to the weekend. So I will look into that further and then report at next council meeting. The other thing in rural city business, I briefly touched base on about we have a builder interested in putting in like twin homes on 490 Grad Street there, which is the old vacant lot that went for tax foreclosure last year. Kind of some of the issues we ran into is we have one service for water and sewer in that lot. They're looking to do twin homes. Kind of two issues, concerns I have. One, he wants to come in and build a twin homes, him own them, not split the parcels, keep it one parcel, and have one service. And basically, he would own the property, and then he'd rent out the two twin homes, or the twin homes. Problem I got with that, when you get down the line to later, when he wants to sell that, now we got a big headache. Now we need to split them lots, it's probably going to be more expensive at that time. Got to put another service in. You know, and then at that time, how are you going to charge, you know, if someone by home said, oh, yeah, plus you owe us $7,000 because we have to go drop the service for, and then which one do you do? You know, which one gets the wagon tax charges? So that's kind of the concerns I have there. So I've talked to Mr. Detail. He said, though, that's how the city wants to approach it, then he would like to switch gears and maybe work towards doing a single family home. I told him, I said, and I would have to believe council would join in, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the council is willing to do what we can to get, you know, property on that lot, and he's willing to talk with us, but I just think in the duplex route, he feels that it'll cost another 10 grand to add in the services and then to split those parts. But I think it's the best thing to do, because just down the road, you're just going to have a big mess.
Well, it's got to be easier for him to sell if they're split, too.
Right. So
is he paying the first one?
When we had the building permit, you know, they'd have the building permit.
So would that be two building permits?
Two. Okay. You know, the way I'd like to go about it would be two. And they'd be two separate parcels. First, we'd have to do a subdivision of that lot. Is the first thing I'd want to do. You know, and then we do two permits, and they would both get the whack and sack, but then we would have to put in the, you know, the water and sewer services at our expense because we're already charging them with, you know, whack and sack.
Didn't we, years ago, kind of throw it around that somebody would be really interested?
Yeah, we would work with them.
Maybe.
On the cost of the whack and sack? Or
like, say he pays full for the one, and maybe the second is reduced rate of some sort.
And that's really up to open the council discussion.
It would be better for him, it would be better for us. And two separate services. Right.
Can he lay both of them in the same trench?
Well, one's in.
Okay.
We have to dig in.
We have to put another separate service.
The other services in.
I mean, if there wasn't one in, you could put them both in the same trench and, you know, you could just, yeah, it would be pretty simple, pretty obvious, you know. But now you still got to dig it up no matter what.
I think probably the best idea was what happened to come to the city council, and we could kind of hash it out that way.
Yeah.
There's no sense in us prosecuting what's going to take place and what's time.
See what he's going to
circle around.
Yeah.
I agree. We definitely can do that. I'll talk to him. And then just on a good note, I did get a message from PCA. They have lifted our moratorium. Any homes. So, but I have put a request in that I would like that in writing.
I agree with that too.
So I'm waiting for that. Unless I get that, I will put it in a council packet.
Anything else on the old business that we need today? Mr. Schultz.
We don't have a lot since last meeting. The gutters are on order for the building here. Yesterday I had a guy come out and he took out 9 stumps for us. So I got that cleaned up and I just need to purchase a little dirt from William Miller and Sons to get the holes filled and seeded, and that project will be done. The jetter, I have something written up now. I just got to get it to Jeremy. I found the manual and wrote down some specs and stuff for it, so hopefully we can get that thing moved out of the shop one way or another. I got a request, I guess. We had a land leveler in the budget for this year, and we had $600. I had two estimates last year. One was for $850 for OEM services to make one, and the other one was for $1,350 or something from Lano's on a brand new one. Because I'm wondering if we could find $250 somewhere. I called OEM services today, and he said he would stick with last year's price of $850 if we wanted to do that. OEM, the welding shop out of. Steve brought it to my attention today, and I I've noticed it myself. The alleys are getting pretty good sized potholes, and people are driving around them and driving on other people's lawns. And it's just something that would be nice for maintaining the alleys and stuff. I know I talked last year with Millers, and Millers said they really didn't care to run their graders in the alleys because they're narrow, and you know, the blades are wide and end up with red rock on the lawns and everything else. So I think that's something we should consider. And we might need a little red rock too, you know, something like that. I could maybe even spread with the one ton if I think they got red rock up here, don't they? Yeah. And some of the there's some low spots that are holes all the time that could maybe be built up a little bit. Anyway, like I said, that's my request for a land leveler. We had 600 in the budget, and that's not quite enough.
Have you called them, and they can get it out right away, get one made right away for you?
I called OEM today, and they said he would stick with that same price, and he said that, if we wanted it, he said he could start it right away. So
I think we should consider.
And the other ones fell through, and the one used one didn't work.
Yeah, and there's one that's for sale at the end of County Road 31 in Norwood there, but that's kind of a little different setup. That's a big block on the front. It's got screen in the middle, and it's got the hydraulic tip, excuse me, which I don't really need. I'm not cutting ditches or anything with it, and that's just kind of a big, heavy, clumsy thing that I don't think that would work for what I would be looking for.
This way you can tell OEM what you want, and they can make just what you want.
Yeah, I already did that. That's where he came up with the price on it. And
do we need a motion for that?
We should.
I'd like to make a motion that Greg go ahead and go to OEM and get ordered what he's got or what he wants, and get it ordered and get it made. So the alley's graded and stuff. So we got the equipment, we might as well use it.
For $850. For a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to proceed with purchasing a land leveler for $850 at OEM Services. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And the next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Jeremy and I will be gone for basically three full days for stabilization pond seminar. And that Thursday, I will try and test out and get my license also. So, community hall repairs. I had another guy come out and look at the roof, and we found it's worse than we thought. It's actually rusted through some of the metal panels. The original bid I got, the guy said he was going to take the foam off it, basically, and refoam it, and then repair metal as needed, it said. Well, I don't think he did a very thorough job of looking at it, because the guy I had out here now actually took a core sample, and that thing has 3 inches of foam. It's got it's underneath that is a tar rock roof. So basically it was foamed over the old roof, and then underneath that is that, I don't even know what the name of it is, it's like a brown board that is laid on top of the metal. Well, that is all mush now because it leaked through there. Because when we popped some ceiling panels out, and there were some rust spots on the ceiling, and he took his key and stuck it right through, and it just ran out. It was yuck. So there's at least two spots along there that are going to need some metal work done too, but basically everything's going to have to come off. So this guy here would do the foam bit I got was a 12-year warranty. This guy here does, it's like a rubber roof, and then it's hot welded together. That's a 20-year warranty on that. I don't believe we've received the bid yet, have we, Jeremy?
Have not, no.
Okay. Anyway, the original bid, too, the guy was just going to do an inch and a half of foam. Well, that can't be done anymore either, because the new code changes now is it's got to be an R22, which is at least 3 inches of foam. So basically, his bid is going to be, I'm going to have to call him and say, you either got to rebid it, and this is what we got, or I was also told that Boss Construction out of Green Isle also does roofing, which I didn't know that they did. But so I'm going to try and get them here.
Good idea.
And get another, somebody else to take a look at it. But it's going to be, you know, like the guy said, everything's got to come off, you know, even the tar roof that's underneath it. So there's going to be, you know, a lot of dumpsters of stuff to haul away and everything else. And then he said they've run into the metal decking that's on there. It's like a corrugated. And he said that you can't get that anymore, but he said you can cut out and weld in places and stuff like that too. So depending on,
get a hold of Boss.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get a bid from him then too.
Right.
So. Okay.
I'll try to remind you. Keep forgetting myself.
All right.
We talked last time about the emergency call-out list for Floyd's. I know Jeremy wanted added the city office added to that, too. That should be one of the first. He's not getting any calls up here. Wherever that is on here.
Well, do you get the call first?
I should get the call first because it says my name first, so I don't know if I do or not.
Mr. Owen, did you get any input on that? Do you know these three people pretty good?
Well, the last time, well, we had this power failure for 3 hours, and everything worked fine. But we had a situation here, I think it was the time before that, they had some alarms, and they said that they called and they couldn't get hold of Greg, and that they left a message. Do you know anything about that?
Well, when was that?
Well, it wasn't this last one. It was something that happened before. I can look at it when I get home.
Yeah,
but you know, they said that they made two or three calls, and one said you weren't available, and the other one there was no answer, and the other one they left a message or whatever. And they should—they really shouldn't be leaving messages. They should be making first-person contact. And we originally had it set up so that, you know, you're the first, and Balls is the second, and Jeremy is probably the third. But then I think we had it—we talked about it last fall, and we changed that so the city hall would be first. And so they make first-person contact, or make a personal contact with somebody at the city hall, and then Jeremy can call Greg, if Greg's gone, he can take care of it, he can call me or whatever.
Well, I think he should be first.
Well, see, sometimes I'm in here.
Yeah, and see it.
So if I'm in here, I get no cell phone coverage.
But then second should be city. And you say, how do you say, weekdays when the city is open? Because if we're not open, you're probably not in here either.
I should probably be first, but city office should probably be second.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting here talking to Jeremy, at least I'm going to get the call.
Right.
Because like I said, I don't get cell phone service in here. I'll walk outside, and it'll go bing, and then I got the message, and then I got a message from my wife that they called, and yada, yada, yada.
But I'm
so,
saying if it's working, no worse. If you're in here, fine. But if they don't get a hold of you, Jeremy or Sherry should be here.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like I said, I mean, that way if I don't get the call because I'm in here,
right.
You know, cleaning or...
But if it isn't usually business hours...
Yeah.
You're probably not in
here. Yeah.
So you should be the first one.
Yeah.
Contact.
Yeah.
The other thing too is that my phone is set up so that their equipment, not a person, but their equipment, automatically sends me a text message, and I always follow that up and send a text message to Greg and say that you did this or whatever. So it's kind of a double.
Which it seems you get the text message before Greg even gets the phone call. I'm wondering if we can't set that up, or Greg also with the text message along to your phone. You know what I mean? It seems the text message goes out before
the call.
Anybody gets phone calls.
Yeah. Yeah, the text message goes out before the phone calls.
Yeah, the equipment that your central station generates that. The other thing is, I'm not sure if they can send that to a phone that's not a smartphone. I can check on that.
They should be able to send to any phone that receives a text message.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah, as long as any phone, as long as the phone can take a text message, it shouldn't matter if it's not a phone, smartphone or not.
As long as your phone can receive a text message.
Because I have noticed, too, that you know the text messages seem to go through as opposed to the calls. You know, like I said, hopefully, you know, this summer they're supposed to be getting a tower in Green Isle, I believe. I'm hoping that improves our service in this area.
Well, we'll check into that also.
Okay.
Anything else, Greg? Or for Greg? Also?
I think one thing I got, Greg, a ping pong table up there. What do we want to do with it? Do we want to keep it in the basement? Do we want it? I haven't heard any official word, but it sounds like Brian Herman donated a ping pong table to the city. I mean, if we are going to keep that, I think it would be best if we had that store in the basement.
Mr. Rowley. Basement.
Yeah. Otherwise, somebody's going to fold it down. Beer pong.
Exactly. That's what I was going
to Yeah. If it's going to stay there, I guess it should probably kept in the basement. If they want to use it for different events, they can bring it up or whatever. Yeah, because it'll, if that thing gets folded down and somebody's fingers get pinched or something, or some kids are playing. Yeah, it's actually kind of a heavy table, too. I just folded it up the other day because it was folded down.
No, it's good in the basement. Anything else?
Standard ever down to the park today, and last week or 2 weeks ago, I blew the leaves out that were there. He trimmed the rose bushes now, and I blew the rest of the leaves out, and we fertilized the rose bushes. But now we need to think about water. Do you have any idea when that water is going to be fixed down there?
They were supposed to be there two weeks ago, Wednesday, and then I ended up having a little medical issue there, so I had to cancel him from the hospital that morning. He called me last Friday, and I am on their list for this week, for sure, he said, but he would have to let me know the day of. So I would guess tomorrow, Thursday or Friday, they'll be here. And then, like I said, they're going to dig it, run the line up on the outside, and then I think I'll just get Hilgers from Norwood to do the connections and go down through. So once it's dug, I would guess, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours are going to be here, and then
okay.
It'll be long.
We got the crabgrass delivered. You can't put that on unless it's going to rain or water it down or whatever, so we're holding off on that.
Yeah. No, Ryan called me last Friday, and he said they got me on the schedule for this week now, but he wasn't sure exactly what day, but he said he'd be out here this week. So
yeah.
He hasn't been out yet, so like I said, the next 2-3 days here, he should be. So.
But Greg, you've worked in parks a long time. When are you comfortable turning that water on? I mean, the thing we forget as Minnesotans is it can snow next week.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's nice now, but I know typically they say you shouldn't be turning the outside water on until after May.
I was going to say, when I worked for Carver County Parks, we always waited until May because we had issues. You know, we had several breaks. We had outdoor camping things, and we had water that was run up on posts. Well, what would happen at night, it would get below freezing, and it would actually freeze the heads, and then during the day as the sun came out, all of a sudden, and it had water shooting everywhere. So, yeah, it is Minnesota. I don't believe we should turn it on until May. You know, I mean, we don't have a lot of sporting events and stuff down there, and so.
You should probably get the portable.
Oh.
Yeah, when one's called around, but I can order that anytime.
There's.
The end of the month?
Yeah, I would say probably the end of the month, so we got it by there's a bunch of people starting to use the park now. I mean, there's kids down at the play structure, and there's people at the basketball courts. And
so last week, April, or maybe that Friday, I think they deliver on Friday, so 24th. When we're dead, or maybe?
Well, there's people down there, I guess. It's supposed to be in the 60s, pretty much through this week. Things have changed.
Rick, you took the gravel down there where the dumpster is?
That's down and spread already, yeah. Yeah, we could actually use more too. So the whole area is low, so. Yeah, it's not soupy. You know, I mean, when it rains, the water stands there, but it's not like they're gonna.
There's that one spot right next to the dumpster on the bank side. Sometimes about that far.
Yeah, it's. Like I said, it's going to take a little bit to dry up, and you know, once it dries up and gets packed decent, then it'll be okay. But that was a big hole that I filled. So
put another load of gravel or whatever. You whip out?
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt. Like I said, I could use it down there.
You
could
grab a cup.
Yeah. We could. Like I said, it could definitely use another load. So.
Anything else? Anything for Greg? Everything
has
been cleaned up down by the pond.
Everything's been raked
inside the pond.
The problem's
out. The
ducks
have returned, some of them.
We put that in there today?
Okay, I've seen
his
truck down there.
There is
progress down there. Other than that,
I'm
sure
that's one thing. I wouldn't mind maybe. We do have a purchasing policy. It's basically for small purchase. It authorizes small purchases less than $1,000 in the same budget. Anything over budget requires council approval. This may have been a city clerk treasurer or his or her designate. Two, we have purchases of $1,000 but less than $25,000, so there's such a broad range there. Can be made in the open market by the city clerk treasurer without obtaining quotes. These purchases must have approval from council. In talking with Greg, I feel we keep running into this 1,005, 1,009. I know we said earlier, anything over 1,000, we want to get two estimates. This is totally up to council. Me and Greg have talked. Nowadays, it don't take much for $1,000. When you have people you work with, I don't want to sit there and be petty about things. It's $1,050, and these are people we trust, and we hire, and we have them work with. I have to go, and I'm worried about having to go and get an estimate every time, and then every other time we have someone else coming in. Then when we need them for an emergency, that's my concern. Well, why don't you call the other guys? You know, I mean, it needs to be a little bit of faith to the guys you trust, and you also get what you pay for. There's a big understanding in that. So what I'm looking is if, you know, we have such a broad range there. If we want to kind of tie up this purchasing policy a little better, whereas to, you know, 1,000 within budget or, and then up to 2,500, you know, that after, you know, 2,500 to 25,000, we want to get two estimates, or you want to keep it at 1,000, but we should define it. I understand, but I'm just saying, at what point do you feel you should be getting two estimates? That's what I'm saying.
How long ago was that adopted as to when the prices came?
We were just talking $1,000 doesn't go very far nowadays. You know,
I mean, scratching the car and stuff.
Yeah, it's just.
I guess I just don't want to be sitting here all the time. Every time it's $1,005, get another estimate. When we know we have quality people that can do the work, you know, I understand. If I'm doing something at home, a guy comes in and it's $1,200, and I know it should cost about $1,200, I'm going to have him do it. I'm not going to go to someone else. I'm going to be loyal to them. Now, if we're talking $12,000, you know, you're my friend and all, but you know, I'm going to give another estimate just to be safe. You know, So that's what I'm saying. It's just, it's up to council. I just wanted to bring it up. It's just, from me and Greg's standpoint, I mean, $1,000 just, I know $1,000 is $1,000, but.
What do you think other cities have? I think so. She wants what's out there. You know, because we got to have a guideline. I don't want it too much.
Well, no, I don't either.
I mean, we have it.
Yeah. Right, but I think 1025 says we only need one estimate. If we want to define that at a certain point, when do you want two estimates? So we're saying basically on this policy, 25,001, then we need
Well, I think, too, around just some things we've discussed in the last couple of years, we've pretty much come to the conclusion that it was not the $1,000 we wanted to estimate.
So,
you
know, right. So then we should define that in here, but yet what Gregor's saying, $1,000 just seems like, that's my opinion, council. Everybody's going to differentiate on that, but I just wanted to bring up, because lately, estimates are $1,000, $5,000, $50. It seems like everything we've run into is that. I'm just saying.
I think why don't you check what's out there in mm-hmm. the area, and we'll leave it at the time of the day.
Not to exceed $25,700 from engineers. I think that's a little more than what he kind of quoted us off the top of his head at the last meeting. I am meeting with Justin Black with SEH tomorrow morning at 10. And we're going to go over some of the specs and plans and kind of look at maybe some initial cost estimates and then look at the alternatives for that project. And then you should be here at the next meeting to present the feasibility study.
All right.
Accident coverage for city volunteers. It's that time of year, got to renew work comp. Have to have quotes in this month. Our renewal comes up on May 21st. And I kind of have everything submitted and in. Every year, it's always asked, we want to continue with accidental coverage for city volunteers, and also if we want to continue to have coverage for council members.
I see on the first page here that volunteer firefighters, I was going to say that, mention that before, but it looks like they are covered.
Right, but the discussion was if the
retired is the key.
Oh,
there.
I see. The old retired one. Okay.
And so roughly about council members, it was about $70 last year. That'll probably go up a little bit because wages went up. It's based on wages. So that will go up a little bit. And then volunteers last year was $123 for the year. So we were looking at about $200 to cover, council and volunteers.
I think it's a very good thing because even with the, National Night Out, the sweet corn, anything could have got burned or anything. I think it's a good cheap security. Yeah.
Didn't we budget for it?
Did you spend the budget? But boy, I tell you what, work comp, $1,000, from 5,100 to 6,029 or I'm actually. We got the bill yesterday and I looked at that and right away said, sure, can you pull up last year what we did? This looks odd.
Are we going to need a motion on that?
Yes, please.
I'd like to make that motion and for the volunteers and for the city council.
And check it out.
Okay, and check on the other
option. There's a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to for the accident coverage and to check on the other people that may be covered or not.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Last thing I got, anyone have any insight as to how it came about to name the city Amber? Got an inquiry by someone? I know settlers moved here and kind of the main person founded the town named the streets after his daughters. You know, I know that far, that part of the history, but as to why they chose Amber for the name of the town, and just assuming because they were German settlers.
They were probably German settlers from close to that area.
Right. There was I couldn't find nothing that specifically.
If you have that little brochure.
Yeah, I did look at
that. Nothing
happened. Okay.
I think there's some of those real old Hamburg City newspapers up in the attic. Did you go look them in there?
I keep a couple of
them. There's a bunch of them that were up there by the Lions.
That has some really good history, but I didn't see anything in there as to why they picked Hamburg. I'd have to assume because it was mainly German settlers here. So.
Are you on
there?
Pass
around what we've done every year, which we've done quite a while, is just
closing
the farm gates.
Greg, we'll open them kind of in the morning, and one of us will close them in the last year. Okay. Anything else for Greg?
Jeremy, what's the status on that house on Mirabeau Street that we got that letter from, the copy of the letter from the inspector?
I did talk to the owner of that property about the concerns. And the only thing she kind of disputed was the building permits, that she hasn't done anything to the building without obtaining permit. She's done service on it. But the other item, she was going to check with MinSpec and meet with them and go to the building to do an on-site inspection. So, and I haven't heard back from MinSpec, but I will follow up with MinSpec to make sure that the items addressed in that letter are discussed.
And Zummerfest, that's just a Saturday, a Friday to Saturday event this year, it's not Sunday?
No, I believe that started last year.
I thought maybe it was just 2 years last year. And they're going to still have the Thursday garage sales?
Thursday,
yeah.
Okay. Oh, how about the lawn cutter? Any response to that ad?
Nothing.
Cool. That's a problem.
Want to put us to Magler Hour, Sherry?
Sure. Anything else for Greg? You got anything else? I'd like to thank you.
No, I just want to thank Jeremy and Sherry, too, because they and whoever all helped with cleaning the hall and leading this when I was gone. I appreciate that. So.
No problem. We appreciate the work you do. So.
All right.
Thank you. Jeremy, you got anything on the ear anymore?
The only other thing I was looking at, Chris, you're involved, or you think you bring up that food for kids?
Yeah, I can touch on it. I might have food for kids.
Anything else? Nope. Okay, we'll move on to number 10. Approve the additional payments for March.
Yeah, that was just one payment for the heavy-duty rescue truck for $20,586.50.
Move to approve the one action payment. That was just the $1,730.110, right?
Correct.
Check number 1731.10 for a total
$586.50.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the gas edge payment on the...
No, it's right just that 17310. That's the only one.
As
yeah. You know, we were trying to figure out how to do that to make it confusing, so we did the date and then the edge.
Gotcha.
Okay, we've got a motion. For a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve check number 17310 amount for county towns to 5,650. All in favor?
Aye.
Carry. Now we'll move on to the repo claims.
Move to approve the 5 ACH payments for April on check number 17311 to 17349, total of 31,904.65.
Second. Motion made and seconded to approve check number 17311 to 17349 with the 5 ACH payments for a total of 31,904.65. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on to our council report. Mr. Owens.
I have nothing.
Mr. Bob.
The only thing I got is every time we come in here and have a meeting, I look at these panels when Dennis changed these, but he didn't change those ones for those smoke detectors. Was it too much work for him to cut those out? Because those are 4 old panels that he never replaced.
I mean,
they just bother me. It's not a big deal. It's just
with the wiring, I think.
Is that what it was?
Something with the wiring. Because they're tied into the alarm system.
Yeah.
So that's something that Schultz couldn't do.
I'm quite sure he's had.
We can ask Greg if he's comfortable.
I get it. It's not a huge issue. They just bother me. That's all.
I agree. They stick out.
That's all I got.
So the bugs and things. That's the way life is.
I just got a couple of things, three things to bring up. First one is, I was approached by a couple of people in regards to how we've had a couple of signs out here. You know, like the bingo sign will usually get placed out here. Now there's a pork chop dinner sign out here. What thoughts does the city have or would the council have about maybe putting 2 permanent posts out there so people can hang the banners on both ends of town versus having to drive the stakes in every time? Is there a thought behind or any major objection in maybe looking into that?
I guess it's just something extra to cover on.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
Who wants to experience this?
I can take it from here. I just wanted to know if there was any objection from the council. And I'd want to talk to Greg too and see if he has any issues about going around with the lawnmower and all that. But
there's one thing too, right on the other side of town.
I'd have to check with the county too.
Yeah.
Right, because there's liability issues, I think. Yeah. If somebody runs off the road and hits them, then.
Yeah, that's, and I had planned on checking with the county on that too. I just wanted to see what the council thought in that.
That's fine, check into it.
And then the other thing, the second thing I have is it was discussed at our last bingo as we were setting up. Because we don't have any parking really at the city hall, how much use does that park get between the city hall and the post office? I mean, would it be more beneficial for the city hall or for the community hall to have that paved over and made into an area where people can park? I know it's not going to create a lot of parking spots, but I figure just by looking at it, it might put in 12 or 15 parking spots in there that could alleviate some people, especially the older people that have a tendency to come to some of our events, not have to walk 2-3 blocks away.
I think we get opposition from the city residents.
Yeah, my only concern would be, I like the idea, my only concern would be is if you upset some of the people that didn't work to get that parking traffic going. That'd be my only concern.
I mean, we can probably move the park equipment down to the other park and add on. I just wonder if that park gets used enough to where we know the parking lot would get used and it would take parking off the street.
We'll probably want to use the benches when we erect this.
I don't know where
the triple
comes and
the triple
office. But I don't know what parking lot or the.
I think that little match would create a bonfire. I think so. I'd try to pave that over. Oh my God. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I was just curious what the council's thought was, but I just, like I say, one of the biggest concerns when people come to events there is that. You just have those what, four parking spots along the side.
There's no parking at all.
Yeah, and if you're and if you have an issue with parking, I mean, you're going to have to park. If you don't get there early enough, you're parking down a ways.
So, I guess if it's those 14 spots, if they're down by the bar or if they're down to the north.
If anything, I would suggest maybe trying to utilize the lot across from the hallway that the city owns.
The city owns that? That's because I wondered why they piled the snow up there.
Creating some spots. So people,
I didn't know we owned that.
So people would actually park properly?
Yeah.
About five people that park in there, and there should be enough people for 15, you know what I mean? Because I always noticed that.
A little order.
Yeah. You know, I would say if anything to pursue would be that lot.
Okay. I didn't know we owned a lot across the street.
That would be paved and marked.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Okay. Well, that
you could probably get 15 people in there easy, I bet, you know.
I can talk more with you, Jeremy.
Sure.
Then the last thing is kind of what Jeremy had kicked on. The Lions is spearheading a group. It's called Feed Our Kids. It's a lot like Feed Our Starving Children. What they're going to do is they're going to be coming. They're going to bring a semi-load of food to prepare. We actually talked with the chief. We're going to take all the machines out. We're going to do it right here because it's easier to get it off the semi and back on the semi. We're going to do it from 8 to noon on May 16th. Our goal is to package at least 20,000 meals, which the funds for that are coming from our last bingo. But we are taking donations if anybody wants to donate. We do need volunteers. We're going to roughly need about 100 people. And it's a great tool if you know of an organization that needs volunteer hours or if you know of kids in high school. Yep, we're already in the process of doing that.
They have that community service that they do to the schools, which would
be great. The National Honor Society, to be part of that, you have to
have Yep, and we actually have we have that letter off to them already. So, I mean, a lot of those spots have been hit.
Contact the sheriff and see if they need people that need community service hours. That might work.
Yeah, so, I mean, just spread the word if you know of groups that could benefit from volunteer hours. It would be great if we could do more than 20,000 meals. That would be awesome. But if we could only do the 20,000, that's fine too. The idea is that this event would become an annual event. And every year around the May time, we would get together as a community and then just put these meals together.
What is the date for that?
May 16th.
Yeah, so. You got flyers put up?
No, there hasn't been a lot of flyers put up, but there's been a lot of emails sent out to different groups that we know of. A lot of the churches have already been contacted. The schools have been contacted.
It'll be on the site this week.
That's what we have. So if you know of any groups, Diana Crails at the bank is the one to contact, or you can always contact me and I can pass on the information to the group too.
Who is the treasurer of the Lions?
Diana Crails. That's all I have.
Mr. Travish.
The only thing I got was I noticed on the sheet here that the 2010 rescue truck, it's due. But on the unfunded balance, is that $3,876? Is that from the township, or what is that from?
That's what's due,
that's
for payment.
Yeah, but it's due. And I was just wondering, is that from the township or is that from us?
Well, that would probably be
that's just what's in that fund that will go towards.
They paid
off
that last payment?
No. And if there's any remaining amounts, you know, I'm saying we can. Usually what that is where if we have more in that fund, it's going to be from donations.
Oh.
So
okay.
Various donations, probably from the Relief Association.
Right.
Majority of that.
Yeah.
And any of those monies, let's say, you know, because I haven't, once I close it out here at
right
then,
yeah,
I'll be able to tell you what that actual balance is.
Yeah.
And then what we'd probably do is take those monies and use towards the next truck purchase.
I just see it was due.
So we'd take and make a motion to approve and move that money to the fire equipment CD.
I just see it was due in the but it's not matures until 11:30. So I mean, you got time.
All right. Anything else? I do not have anything. At this point,
I'll move to recess the meeting.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to recess council meeting. Take a 5 minute. We'll go ahead and take the call. Take a 5 minute. I think a couple minutes.